Good morning. Well, I tell you, I had a dilemma this week when I stood on stage just looking at the pulpit's options. I had Leonard's pulpit back here, which was a little bit too tall, so then I tried Cappy's one. So this was my thinking. You get tall speakers and short speakers, and then you get speakers that are just right. So I'm just teasing. I could have said just average. All right, you decide. So this morning I want to kick off. I'm sure somewhere as family and friends you've had a discussion where you've nostalgically reminisced some of those old South African TV ads. We've had some brilliant TV commercials through the years. And I'm thinking back of the 80s and the 90s. We think, yeah, remember that ad? Do you remember the David Cromer VW ads? Those were so good. And then my favorite was this IBM ad with a mommy elephant and a baby elephant through the desert with an awesome soundtrack from the Hollies, He Ain't Heavy. He's My Brother. It brought me tears. I believe that won quite a few international awards. That's a great ad. And then there's this ad. It's not inside. It's on top. I knew you could finish that. But what's happening now is the 20s and the teenagers are looking and like, what are these people talking about? So here's my suggestion, that you actually get your parents to show you some of these ads on YouTube. They're really funny. They're really brilliant. You're going to laugh quite a bit. The only problem is you're going to have to show your parents how to use YouTube. Okay. So what I want to do this morning is I want to show you one of these old ads. Now, unfortunately, it's not one of the ads that I've just spoken about. It's a pity, I know. I had this idea of just watching old ads for 30 minutes together, but Leonard wasn't game, so I apologize. So I can only show you one, but I want to show you this one in particular because it links very nicely to the title of today's message. The title is this. Here we go. God doesn't call us to be nice. God doesn't call us to be nice. Now that you're scratching your head, let's watch the ad together.
Well, that's nice.
Yes, it is.
Nice? I'm sorry to interrupt you. You describe my car as nice. I mean, of all the wonderful compliments you could have chosen, sexy, sublime, racy, sleek, awesome, lecker, stunning, or interesting, you settled on nice. Not good, not great, not stupefying, not phenomenal, merely nice. As I say, I'm sorry to interrupt your dull conversation, but I mean, a cup of tea is nice. Mrs. Warren, who works down the nursery school, she's nice. Just a thought. Leave it with you. Use it, don't use it, you know.
What a great dad, Mrs. Warren. Cup of tea is nice. Now, why on earth, you're still wondering, why on earth would I say God doesn't call us to be nice? Well, two reasons. Number one, you won't find the word nice in the Bible anywhere, which I think is quite interesting. But here's the main reason. God is our Father. And as fathers, any good father does call their kids higher. God calls us way higher than nice. He calls us to do what? To be what? To be kind. To be kind. So if the title, God doesn't call us to be nice, is a little bit too way out there for you, whatever you're more than welcome to personally just say, Mark spoke about being kind. Carry on with your dull lives. It's not a problem to... Okay, no, I'm just teasing. That's not very nice. But I came across this idea... A couple of months ago, I'm driving on the R21 back from Pretoria heading home, and I see this billboard. I managed to take a photo of this billboard, and maybe you've seen it as well. God gave me a sign. It's a billboard. Let's have a look. There we go. Be kind. And then, a couple of days later, literally in the same week, I'm driving from Benoni to Kempton on High Road, and one of the coffee shops has put a sign on the pavement with their chalkboard, and all that wrote was, be kind. And it kind of got me thinking and reading, and in a way it even personally challenged me. So in my reading and just researching a little bit, we're going to unpack being kind. What's that about? Now, firstly, why is the one way higher than the other? I think that's a good question to ask. Why is it? And fair enough, they overlap in many ways, so don't misunderstand me. And sometimes nice is nice. I don't have a problem with that. But firstly, there's a huge reason why one is not mentioned in the Bible and the other one over 500 times. And then there's a dark side to nice, which kindness doesn't have. And sometimes I struggle with that dark side of niceness, and I've got a sneaky feeling you may too. And in other words, there's a way I could say I'm being kind, but not nice, or I could switch that around and say I'm being nice, but not really kind. How does that work? And that kind of proves that there is a difference between these two concepts. So let's start. Whenever I sit down and I think, I always try to think, okay, what's the cause of something? What's the origin, the foundation, the root of something? Kindness and niceness has a foundation. And then I'm also thinking, what's the target? Because each of these has a specific foundation and a specific target. So let's start with, what's the cause, the ultimate cause or the root of nice or being nice? Well, it's this, quite simply, society. And what's the cause of kindness? Love. Or I could say God, because God is love. All right, so let's go back to why do I say the foundation of nice is society? Well, there's an accepted norm that's dictated by society, society at large. You, me, family, media, governments, all of us have this subconscious dictated norm, as it were. Everything is in a norm, but anything that's above a certain norm, well, that's kind of nice. And anything that you and I dictate is below that, well, that's not so nice. So maybe let me illustrate this. You go to a new restaurant that's just been opened up down the road, and you walk in, you see, wow, these guys have spent quite a bit of money on decor. You sit down, you note that the waiter's very friendly, the food arrives, it's like, wow, this is really delicious. What do you end up saying? You go to your family, your friends, you say, hey, have you guys tried that restaurant down the road? It's really nice. It's above a accepted norm. Your friends go, they tick the same boxes as you, and they come back and say, wow, that you're right, that was nice. You meet someone for the first time at a social gathering. They're eloquent, they're friendly, they don't swear, whatever. You drive home that night, you say to your wife, your husband, wow, she's or he's really nice. There's this accepted norm in society. That is the foundation of what is nice. But what would the foundation be of kind? Well, it's not society, it's God, it's love. In 1 Corinthians 13, probably one of the most famous portions of Scripture, so beautiful, read at so many weddings, understandably so, of course, we've got Paul unpacking this concept of what is love. He's teasing it out. He's defining it for us. And in verse 4, he says, love is what? Love is patient. Love is kind. That's its foundation. Now, what are these two different targets? They've got two very different targets. Niceness, being nice, has a target, and kindness has a target. Now, what I'm about to say sounds quite ruthless, maybe a bit black and white, but I think ultimately you're going to agree with me. What is the target of nice? Me. Me. The ultimate reason that you are nice is for yourself. Let's go back to my restaurant example. Why is that restaurant nice? Why have they thrown money at the decor, trained the staff, get the best chef in? So that you come back, bring Mr. MasterCard or Mrs. Visa card and use that as many times as possible, boosting their profits. It is ultimately for them. That you benefit at the same time, well, that's an added bonus and that's nice, but ultimately it's for them. That individual that you met is really nice. Why are they nice? Ultimately, to be accepted or even applauded in society. So if you really think about it, being nice is for me. But being kind, the target is totally different. It's all about you. It's about you. What's good for you? What will help you? What will benefit you? If I benefit in the process at the same time, well, that's nice, but that's totally irrelevant. In fact, if I get no benefit out of it, I'll still carry on. Or even it costs me, you still carry on. Niceness will never go that far. Never go that far. I mean, think about it. Jesus, our ultimate example, dies on a cross for you. It was never about him at all. Jesus dies on a cross, not because he's nice, but because he's kind. It was all for you. So if we have to sum this up, what is the foundation of nice? It's us, society. What is the foundation of kind? It's him, love. Being nice is for me, and being kind is for you. Now, I want to read to you a passage of scripture where Paul writes to a young man that he's mentoring, and this really just demonstrates God's kindness was all about you and me, and it was for us, it was never about him. So it's a very short little letter, and a couple of verses that I'm going to read here, I've asked them on the board to underline how these scriptures point out God's kindness. The target was always you, all right? So here we go, chapter 3. Verse 3, it kicks off like this. In fact, when I read this a couple of times, I'm thinking we could start off with once upon a time, once, but our story starts very dark, very gloomy. Once we too were foolish. Now, when the Bible says foolish, it's not saying you were a silly billy. No, the word you can use there is evil, corrupt, wicked. So once upon a time, you were also foolish and disobedient. We were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. How's that for a nice start to the story? But, thank God there's a but. But when God our Savior revealed his what? Kindness and love. He saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy, he washed away our sins, giving us a new birth, a new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out his Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of his grace, he declared us righteous and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. It was all about you and me. It was never about him. That was the target. Now, God sets an incredible example of kindness. All over the Bible, he instructs us and encourages us to be kind. So there's so many verses I could have used, but I want to select this one. So let's have a look in Colossians chapter 3. It says, since God chose you to be holy people he loves, you must. You see, it says you must. It doesn't say, can I suggest? No. You must do what? Clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Do you see the outfit that we're supposed to wear? It says clothe yourself. Could you imagine you leave the home with one item of clothing? You decide, let me mix things up. Let's keep the office on their toes. I'm going to come to work just with a sock, one sock. I leave the house, I'm just going to wear a shirt today. Nothing else, just a shirt. Don't imagine that too far, it'll damage you psychologically, right? No one leaves the house with one item of clothing. You kind of hope you're wearing underwear, and then there's a shirt, and there's perhaps a blouse, or pants, or jersey, or I don't know, a dress, shoes, socks. Several, and by the way, sir, I'm just jumping between the genders. I'm not advocating cross-dressing. These days, you have to be very specific with these things. But the point is, you wear several items of clothing, and you don't want to miss one of them. Look what it says there. Wear, put it on. You have a responsibility. Here's the wardrobe, or here's the outfit you and I are supposed to wear every day. Mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Don't leave the house without wearing any of those. That's our responsibility. So we've got kindness and niceness as two different foundations and two very different targets. Then I said a couple of minutes ago, there's a dark side to nice which kindness doesn't have. Dark side to nice. What would that be? The best way to unpack that is in a concept that you and I know very well, constructive criticism. Those two words kind of give you chills, am I right? The very thought of giving it or even receiving it But even the words themselves, constructive criticism, it's almost like German, jawohl, mein Kampf. It gets you like, it gets you a little nervous straight away. Constructive, now the Bible speaks about constructive criticism, but it does so in a far more poetical, more pleasing way on the ear than constructive criticism. And you've heard it before, you can probably finish the line in Proverbs 27 verse 6. It says, wounds from a sincere friend are better than kisses from an enemy. All right, quick vote, quick pop quiz. What's nicer, a wound or a kiss? What's nicer, a slap through the face or a peck on the cheek? What's nicer, a broken arm, cracked rib, or a smooch? I know the 20s are itching to cast their vote here. A kiss, a smooch, that's nice. Nicer than a cup of tea. For me, that means a lot. A wound, a broken arm, a cracked rib is not nice. But what is that verse saying? Well, it may not be nice, but it sure is kind. You see, you may be heading down a path of destruction, or you're making a decision, or you've got a blind spot. Nice people don't say anything. Kind people say something. You see, nice people don't say anything. Kind people, and by the way, when I say kind people say something, they don't say something to one another. That's gossip. That's a whole different preach. No, they say something to you. The boss, very strong individuals making a decision that could really damage the company. I tell you what nice employees do. Oh, you're fantastic, so go for it. Kind people say something. As parents, you've got teenagers in the house with a bad attitude or really giving some stick or whatever. Well, nice parents just take it on the chin. Kind parents do something. Kind parents say something. A friend tells an inappropriate joke in a social setting. Nice people laugh along. Kind people, kind friend pulls you aside and say, hey, what are you doing? The difference. In other words, kindness says, I wound you because I love you. Niceness is, I don't wound you because I love me. That's the difference. Now, and it goes without saying, if you are wounding someone, this is common sense, but we all know common sense is not always very common. Common sense is, you do it in an appropriate way, at an appropriate time, at an appropriate place. Can I say tongue in cheek? You try and do it in the nicest way possible. Some people have just got this philosophy, well, I'm just giving them the truth. They must just deal with it. Pastor Derek Len's dad used to say, people like that like to call a spade, and they get really surprised when they get hit by a spade. They're just going to give the truth. You can call them jerks for Jesus. Okay, that's another option. Can I go back to the outfit that you're supposed to wear? In kindness, you're wounding someone. You're hopefully not just standing there with a sock. You're wearing mercy. And you're wearing humility. And boy, oh boy, I hope you're wearing gentleness and patience at the same time. So God gives us an unbelievable example of kindness on the cross and then clearly instructs us, says, follow me, do the same thing. Then he gives us some stories, plenty stories on kindness, but I thought, let us quickly unpack the most popular one of all. In fact, I think this story is more famous than any Disney story ever told. The whole world knows it. There's even an English metaphor associated with the story. It's called the Good Samaritan. Now, imagine I said to you, it's called the Nice Samaritan. You'd be like, that doesn't sound right. If I said to you, it's the Kind Samaritan, you'd be, good translation. Interesting. Now, I know I don't have to read or unpack the story because, like I say, the world knows the story, but I did sit and think, I wonder if you know why the Samaritans and the Jews really hated one another so much. Maybe that's an aspect of the story that you don't really know. Now, I can't go into detail with the history, so I still thought, all right, let me try this in a way that my teenagers enjoy. It's called History Oversimplified. There's a YouTuber that unpacks history phenomenon, and he does it in a crazy brief way. So we're going to try that very quickly. Just a couple of seconds. Why did the Jews and the Samaritans hate one another so much, all right? 1,000 years before Jesus Christ, the Jewish nation is made up of 12 tribes living in Canaan. Rich, happy, everything's great. 700 years before Jesus Christ, the animalistic Assyrians come from the north, and they obliterate 10 of those tribes, scattering them all over the empire, relocating foreigners into that part of the land, who breed with a couple of the remaining Jews, creating a hybrid Jew called a Samaritan. Some 100-150 years later, the barbaric Babylonians come from the east with King Nebuchadnezzar. His mother wanted to try and use every letter of the alphabet in naming his son, but the father just called him Neb. So Neb arrives on the scene. He obliterates the temple. He obliterates Jerusalem and takes the remaining two tribes back to Babylon. But then the beautiful, passive, peace-loving Persians, 70 years later, send those two tribes with a blank check to rebuild the temple, rebuild Jerusalem, back home. So the excited hybrid Jews from the north, the Samaritans, say, we want to help build a temple. But the real Jews says, no, we want to do this by ourselves. So the hybrid Jews start toy-toying and throwing stones. Then they decide, we're going to build our own temple. We don't need you on our own mountain called Mount Gerizim. That's what they do. 200 years later, real Jew military leader by the name of John Hyrcanus, not to be confused with John the Rear End, his cousin, he ends up going to destroy that temple in retaliation of the toy-toying and stone-throwing. So 200 years when Jesus arrives on the scene, the Samaritan hybrid Jews and the real Jews hate one another more than Helen Ziller and Julius Malema. Or I could say Putin and Zelensky. Or Donald Trump and everyone. So you can imagine the scene is set for this incredible story. Now, we know let's do that in three lines. Real Jew goes on a trip, gets beaten up, left for dead. Real Jew priest just walks on by. Real Jew Levite walks on by. Hybrid Jew stops, bends down, nurses him, lifts him up, puts him on a donkey, takes him to a day spa, and foots the whole bill. What an incredible story. What do we learn from that story? So much, really. But here's the main thing. Kindness will cost you. It'll cost you. It cost the hybrid Jew Samaritan time. But it cost him a missed opportunity. Have you ever thought of that in the light of the story? He was going somewhere. He's going to a business meeting. He's going to a family function. He missed that. It cost him money. He paid the whole bill. Kindness will cost you. Niceness will never go that far. And I know as human beings, you're sitting there like I would be sitting there thinking, why would I do it then? Here's the main reason, because you love Jesus. That same Jesus that died on a cross in kindness for you. Every time you teach a student patiently, every time you forgive someone unconditionally, every time you cover for a work colleague, every time you pay someone's bill quietly, every time you do the dishes unasked, every time you turn another cheek, every time you walk another mile, you are loving Jesus. You see, our kindness to others is an expression of our love for Jesus. And when I unpacked this, when I thought about this for a moment, I'm thinking, you know what? So then if you're a non-Christian, you're an agnostic, you're an atheist, well then it's kind of acceptable to operate in the level of nice. Yes, I know it's all about you, but we'll benefit somewhere along the line. But if you're a Christian, We're called higher. We want to love Jesus. How do we do that? We be kind. We be kind. And here's something else. If I think of that billboard, and some of you have seen it, hopefully now you'll look out for it. Someone's gone through huge trouble, expense, you don't even know who it is. Massive billboard that says, be kind. That is the most important advert in South Africa at the moment. Why is that? Because kindness always changes an atmosphere. Always. And here's the crazy part. The tiniest act of kindness can change an atmosphere. You know, in the headlines at the moment, there's this massive concern with climate change. You're hearing it all the time, and understandably so, it's concerning. And part of that narrative that's so concerning, the scientists will tell you they're really worried about sea levels rising because of polar caps melting. So I just read up a little bit about this, and it's so fascinating. So this is the one article I read. They kind of unpack that if our sea levels rise by 30 centimeters, we're in serious trouble. Cities like Beijing and Venice and Dubai and Bangkok and New Orleans and London and Amsterdam, just to name a few, are pretty much looking at obliteration. And we're looking at about $1 trillion worth of damage per year from 30 centimeters. Kindness changes an atmosphere, no matter how small. In 1936, the Summer Olympic Games were held in Berlin. And historians will tell you that for Hitler, this was his dream to prove to the world how glorious and how powerful Nazi Germany had become. And added to that, he had the sick warp idea to demonstrate to the world how superior the German Aryan race was to everyone else. And in that atmosphere of arrogance and racism and just plain evil and pride lands a black athlete by the name of Jesse Owens. And this man would achieve something that the world had never seen before. He would win 4 gold medals at those Olympic Games. First one would be the 100-meter sprint, then the 200-meter sprint, then the 4x100-meter relay, and then he won the long jump. But if you go research the story, or read the story, or even see the film, it is quite possible, if not probable, that he wouldn't have won that 4th gold medal if it wasn't for an incredible moment of tiny kindness. Because when the long jump session had started, as it were, you know what it's like. You've seen sometimes on sport channel TV, sometimes those athletes are warming up, and some of them are stretching, some jump, and some actually do a mock run up and a mock jump. And that's exactly what he was doing. He was just getting ready, so he did a mock run up, a mock jump, but Jesse Owens failed to notice that the officials had raised the flag saying that the competition for qualifying had started. So they counted that as jump number one, and he's got 3 opportunities to qualify. So you can imagine he's super rattled. So in his second jump to qualify, he totally oversteps the launch mark, and it's a dud. Jump number 2. So before he does jump number 3, a 1.8-meter blonde-haired, blue-eye epitome of Aryan race, German, long jump champion from the European Games. I thought this was quite funny. His name is Luis Long. Go figure. He steps up and pulls Jesse Owens aside and quietly suggests that in that 3rd qualifying jump, just pull your run-up mark back a little. Launch way ahead of the marker. You have got so much talent, it'll be so easy for you to qualify. And that's exactly what Jesse Owens did. And he qualified. But you know what happened that afternoon? Guess who won the gold medal? Jesse Owens. Beating Luce Long. And here's a photo right after that incident. These two walking arm in arm. And Hitler and Goebbels and Himmler are seething in the stands. And the crowd is going crazy. An atmosphere of racism and arrogance and pride was defeated, was changed, was shifted by a tiny moment of kindness. Because the next day, splashed across every newspaper in the world was that story of kindness, not the glory of Nazi Germany. Kindness will change an atmosphere. Don't you want to flood your home? Don't you want to flood the work office, which is toxic? Don't you want to flood this country, which desperately needs to hear the love of Jesus? Mother Teresa said the following: I'm just a tiny pencil in the hand of a writing God who is sending a love letter to the world. The foundation of kindness is love. The target is you, because I love Jesus. Come, let's stand. Come, let's pray. God, thank you for your incredible example. Going before us, going way beyond our imagination. But then at the same time, as a good, good Father, you call us higher. Not to be nice, but to be kind. And to put other people's interests ahead of our own. To change our homes, to change the workplace, to change this country. God, may we put on that outfit and walk in kindness and walk in humility and walk in patience. May we bring your love to a world that so desperately needs it. Amen. See you next week.